right today because of the passing of our brother in Christ, Ken Paul. You know what? We are the lights of the world. And Ken was a faithful man, a gentle soul for all of us who knew him and had time to be with him. And the passing of a fellow believer, someone we've known for so many years, certainly brings to your mind many things. Maybe your own mortality, the precious nature of life, and really truly how much we do have to be thankful for. And, I know Trisha has been a strong woman. She's been surrounded by her family almost from the very beginning of this journey. And this is what I say, that Ken's journey on this earth is over for now. But there will be a day when we shall all be reunited. And his next waking moment will be with a new body, a totally renewed mind, full of energy, strength. I don't know how young it will be. Or how old it will be, but whatever it is, it's going to be like the prime of life. We're just so able to just embrace and enjoy everything, because God has prepared things for mankind that we have no idea. We see through a glass darkly, right? We see through such little lenses. God is just huge. He wasn't afraid. I can tell you that. You come face to face with certain realities in your life, you find out what you're really made of. And that's why there's so much exhortation, so much encouragement for us to draw close to God, to build our intimate relationship with God, to have the relationship with God, to strengthen that, that we don't have sorrow as others that have. No, but we have sorrow, obviously. And, on November 8th, we'll be doing a celebration of life for Ken. Location and details yet to be announced, but that is a Saturday, November 8th. And be a time just to celebrate, reflect, memorialize, pay tribute. If you go through New Orleans, we'd be going down Bourbon Street, jazz band. In some ways, that's kind of cool, man, because they celebrate people's lives, you know. And even though it's a sorrowful thing in the moment, you really look and see the honor and value that each and every one of us bring and contribute in our own unique way. How quirky and how strange we all are at times, you know, because there's no getting away from it, right? You're a person, and you got your stuff. Okay. There was one perfect person who lived, and I really don't know what his personality was like, but probably awesome. Obviously a very great person to be around. He obviously wasn't very easily offended. He was a very patient person, just loving people, forgiving people. Things did stir in his heart. You know, everybody uses that sort of as an excuse to be angry. Well, Jesus got angry. Well, you don't see a lot of really scriptural things about him getting angry. Okay? A little bit. And he was a spiritual anger because of certain things that were transferred. But, you know, I'm praying to think about this morning, and the verse that I really thought about is in Isaiah chapter 40. You probably all quote it. Probably on a plaque in somewhere in your house. Isaiah 40:31. Who thinks they know that verse?
Mary? Somebody go.
Who point that?
Huh? Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run up as wind. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Mary.
Shall rise up with
wings
as eagles.
He
shall run and not be weary.
He
shall walk and not faint.
Right. Yeah, let's look at it there. Isaiah 40:31. Great exhortation. It's so rich and full. We probably memorized it at different times. quoted out loud. We knew the tune to this. We'd sing it to ourselves. But do you really know what this verse is talking about? We want to renew and gain new strength. You know what? Most people, a lot of times, in their conversation, will say one major phrase, I am so tired. Have you ever said that? Oh, we're human beings here, okay? It happens. See, we want to renew. We want to gain new strength. We want to not get weary. We want to mount up with wings as eagles. We want to run through this life and don't get weary. We want to walk through our problems and not become faint. But how many of us really are successful being able to do those things, and also knowing how to do them to the point that you can teach someone else how to do it. That is true mastery. See, not that you've got to go to the book, oh yeah, I do the same thing, you know, something needs repair, what do I do? Patricia, where's the instruction manuals for all? She's so good, you know, she keeps all the instruction manuals, every piece of whatever we can get, as immediately filed in a file box. Refrigerator, freezer, blah, 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 blah. And then what do you do eventually? Read the instruction book, right? Figure it out. Because you haven't done it. You're not doing it all the time like Daniel. He's a plumber. So he can go out and do things, certain things, because he's been trained how to do these things so he can do it without having to go back to the plumbing manual. My God, how do I pull out a toilet and reinstall it? So, I'll ask you a very practical question. How many times have you looked at your own life and wondered why you were not renewing or even gaining new strength? Well, probably you've asked that question and wondered about it a few times. You may not be mounting up with wings like eagles and rising above your problems. Matter of fact, you may be running through life with its unique problems and getting extremely tired in the process. You might find yourself walking through life's experiences with adversities with much weariness. And if you fit into this category, which believe it or not, although I know you walked on water to get over to this fellowship, if you fit into this category, which most of us do, by the way, you have probably questioned, what is wrong with me? Why is that working? And it's a valid, very valid question. And it deserves a very valid, truthful answer. And that's why we look at Isaiah 40:31. The day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You're like, yeah, if you're 30. Yeah, maybe if you're on vacation most of the time, you're independently wealthy, you can just do whatever you want, whenever you want. Yeah, there it is. It mentions this strength of an eagle's wings that lifted far above you. It mentions the strength necessary to run without becoming weary, and the strength to walk without becoming faint. It's all about strength. Specifically, it's about the attributes of strength that we are in desperate need of in our lives. But something must first happen. We must do something in order for the strength in this verse to come to pass in our lives. So what is it that we need to do? What would you tell someone else if you were in this situation and they were having this conversation with you and they were telling you how weary they were, how tired of the fight that they were, how burned out they were feeling in life because of a multiplicity of different sets of circumstances and situations and problems? What is the key that unlocks the strength in this verse? And how do we also obtain the strength that we need to live from day to day? And let's look at it again. And here it is, right in the first four words of this particular verse. But they that what?
Wait.
Oh, I think the wait. Yeah, here it is. I hate to wait in line at the grocery store. I hate to wait in line to eat. I hate to wait in line at the department store. We were somewhere at Michael's up in Modesto. There must have been 20 people on the line. The first thing Vicki said when we got in the store is, I'll go wait in line. You guys do the shopping, and then we'll be close to the front by the time you guys get done. Right? Maybe you don't want to wait.
But the key to unlocking the verse is the word wait. So those who wait upon the Lord get all the attributes of strength that are listed in this verse. So if we want the strength in its various forms listed in this verse, then we must first learn how to wait on the Lord. Oh, I'm so impatient. I can't wait. This is so ingrained into our culture. I got to have it now. You know what I mean? And if I can't have it now, then I'm going to really be upset. And I'm going to really be mad. Everybody around me is going to know I'm mad too. That's just so bizarre to me. Not only am I mad, everyone around me is going to know I'm mad. Why must I know that? I can probably tell it anyway. So really, you have to define the word, okay? And a number of months ago, I think, Jan did a great teaching on waiting on the Lord. Remember that? You know, it's on our website, probably somewhere. But the literal meaning of the word wait is to bind together like a cord. And what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to tie a cord around a bundle of sticks to keep them together. And that would be our normal thought process, right? To just take, like, you have a bunch of wood here, and you want to keep it together, so what do you do? Bind some twine around it, and it's bound together. Okay, so here, instead of that, picture in your mind the process of making a rope by twisting or weaving and binding thin threads together to form the rope. Ever seen a braided rope? It's all of these things that are all woven together, right? The more strands that are twisted or woven together in a rope, the greater its strength. Ah, there's that word again. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, a cord of three strands is not what?
Easily
broken. A cord of three strands. We talk about that in the light of the marriage relationship. God, husband, wife, threefold cord is not easily broken. It's talking about a rope. All those things being intertwined and interwoven together. You see, a piece of string cannot lift very much weight because it doesn't have very many strands in it, right? A piece of rope, however, can lift hundreds of pounds because it is made up of many strands. When a rope lifts or pulls a load, it stretches a little while it's working. As it stretches, the individual strands are pulled closer together. While this stress is on the rope, the individual strands work together to lift or pull the load. No one individual strand does all the work. If it did, it would snap. Talk about spiritual analogies, about the family of God working together, strengthening. Strength in numbers. A rope's strength comes from all the strands working together. The literal definition of that word in the Hebrew implies strength in numbers. More strands in the rope, greater strength. So just as the rope's strength comes from being made of many strands, our strength comes from being united together with God through Jesus Christ. The rope of our lives gains strength by being twisted or woven or bound together with the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the indwelling presence of the Spirit. So, oh man, what a great topic, huh? How exactly do we wait upon the Lord? about the rope. It's made up of many strands, and so is our relationship with God. The more strands that we weave into our relationship with God, the more strength He gives to us. How do you do that? How about keeping your mind focused on the things of God? How about reading the Word? How about praying? How about speaking in tongues? How about coming to fellowship? How about fellowshipping with like-minded believers who are exhorting you and keeping you accountable, holding you responsible for what you say you want to do? There's nothing wrong with that. Speaking to others about Jesus Christ. And these are just a few strands that really should be very commonplace in our rope. You can probably think of a number of others. But when you twist all these strands together, you get a rope whose strength comes from God. Here's another translation of this particular verse. They that have all aspects of their lives intertwined and bound together with the Lord, like threads are twisted into a rope, shall exchange their meager strength for the strength of the rope. They shall rise up to meet challenges as if they had powerful wings like an eagle. They shall run through life and not be weary. They shall walk through problems and not faint. We have our rope tied to our own strength. Now, I don't use these words very frequently, but here we go. Good luck. Because in your own strength, I can pretty much tell you, at some point, you will fall. No matter how pretty you are, no matter how your great personality, how much money you have within, or all these variables, if it's about you, it won't last. So this is how you renew it. You gain new strength. This is how you rise up and you gain wings like eagles. This is how you run through life and you don't get weary. This is how you walk through problems and adversity without fainting. By weaving all these strands together, you wait upon the Lord. And that is exactly what we are doing right now. Not only just for our present set of situations, problems, and circumstances, but in a greater scope, we are here waiting for the return our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At that moment, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive. And it's probably going to happen so quickly that we aren't even going to really realize it. It's just like all of a sudden we're going to be this place, and we're going to be there. So, what a great expectation. What a great hope. What an awesome opportunity to weave the threads of our lives so closely intertwined that it brings to us strength and courage to continue on. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.